I think most of you know that Peter and I got a little getaway last week. We were able to go to Banff in BC, and it was phenomenal, right? You guys kind of saw some of the posts on Instagram and all that. But as always, no matter what happens, I'm always like getting a point out of something, right? Like, so God was speaking to me continuously on that trip about a certain thing. And then I told Peter, I said, I am so going to talk about this on Sunday. So one of the things that we got to do when we were in Banff was to go up the, like, see the Rocky Mountains. You know, you go up on the gondola, you know, those car lifts, and you go up and you get to see, and it's just, it's an experience. You just get to see it. And so these pine trees, you know, they are called lodge pine, you know. So anyhow, these pines are so beautiful, and you go up and you see the entire Rocky Mountains, and you're seeing the pines, the pine trees, right? And as we were going up, I noticed that there would be one or two. This is like amazing green, right? One or two that'll be like brown or like reddish, you know. And it fascinated me that in the midst of this green forest, you know, there would be this one or two or three odd trees in between that were clearly dead, right? And it took an aerial view, because when you look from the foot of the mountain, you don't get to see it. You just see the beautiful forest. They are so well hidden, these dead ones, right? And it made me think, you know, like, how does this happen? And I had a conversation. So I went and I Googled and I, you know, tried to research and find out what was the big deal. And but there was a point there that it's possible to be dead and still not be detected as dead. Just, you know, be in a group, you know, in the forest of green trees, and this individual tree is dead, but no one can detect it, no one can see it. It can go undetected. Right? So the reality is not seen until you get an aerial view. Another thing that happened that I noticed all the time there was that, you know, obviously the scene is so beautiful. The $1.20 note, you know, the picture, the scenery on that, you know, we went there in, was that Moraine Lake? Yeah. And it is so beautiful. Everybody's taking pictures because the mountains and it's just glorious. Forests, mountains, lakes, you know, greenish, bluish lakes. It's amazing. So everybody's taking. So I noticed people were taking, obviously everybody taking selfies, right? Selfie, selfie, selfie. And you know, about selfies, right? Like the pouty face, the duck face, the, you know, all of that stuff. So I'm watching, you know, get to watch this, and I saw a lot of fake smiles, right? And especially one couple, they were taking these, you know, very nice, intimate, kissy face picture selfies, and then right after that, they were like growling at each other, right? And I saw that with a couple of other families. They would do this, and then they say, okay, now. And then, bling, they'll all smile, you know. Bling. And so this fake smile thing caught my attention. And I was thinking, obviously, their relationship is not going well, you know, some more than others. But to present to the world, right, there's this, that picture perfect. Scenery is fantastic. The smile is great and all that. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I do fake smiles too. Right? But it's not about the fake smile. It's actually, is that what is going on in your life? Like, because we all want to look our best, right? Everyone looks good when they smile. So we want to look good in our pictures, and we understand all that. Everything is with a grain of salt. But it's the constant showing something that we are not out there for the people to see, for who, right? So anyhow, I had a few pictures that I wanted you to have a look. Especially these dead pines. So I'm going to ask Sohan if you can put the first picture up. I just wanted to see you to see the, just the green, beautiful green. That's a picture that I took, by the way. And you can see elk if you look carefully. But the whole point is, look at how beautiful the green pines look in the backdrop of the mountain, right? Can we go to the next one? Okay, there are those dead ones. individual dead trees, and you know, you don't see that from the plane. You only see that from the top. Go to the next one. Here, I call this pretty dead. You know, number one, it's pretty, but it is dead. It's pretty dead. The point here is that sometimes dead things can even look pretty because the outside, see, this looks like as though it's fall, but these are coniferous, you know, there's no fall happening there. These are actually dead, right? And sometimes things can be dead and they look pretty dead, right? Pretty, but dead on the inside. Outside is very pretty, right? And talking about fake smiles, I thought I'll show you some. Can you go to the next one? Okay, I just got this off the internet. But I'm not going to say anything. You can put a caption on that, all right? How many of those really love each other is a real question. How many of those, what's going on in their hearts and lives is a different question. Okay, let's go to the next one. Okay, this is the usual, okay? And then the last one, if you can go to. I just thought, why make fun of others? Because I should pose, now here's a question though. Fake smile or real smile? That's the question there. You know, and I just thought for fun, I can put this, I put four of these pictures. And if you can even tell, two of these pictures was when I was a really in a broken place. And both of those, one happened just after I cried a real good cry, you know. And the other in the other one, I took the picture and then just went into the washroom and had a good cry, right? But if you look at, and you wouldn't be able to pick those, I can tell you. The point is just to say that sometimes we may look, you know, we may smile, we may be happy, you know, on the outside, but something else is going on inside. I think that's enough of my picture there, right? So, no. So the point in all this, why did I say about this tree that's dead but can't be detected, but, you know, looks pretty but it's really dead, or a smile that we fake and put on, but, you know, something inside is dead, right? What's the whole point in this is, first of all, a question is that, are you dead on the inside and looking like you're fine and alive on the outside? Are you a dying tree? Are you in the place of a fake smile where others don't know the tears that are running in, right? While you look great on the outside. Do you look good, normal, or even great, but life is breaking down, or it's just already a broken mess? Because we all know, I mean, we can wear, let me say, for example, you know, you may be, someone may be wearing brand shoes, name brand shoes, and it doesn't matter really what's on the outside, what they're wearing. The really important thing is, what path are they walking in? Because that, no one sees that. Only God sees that. Like, you know, we can put on the greatest lipstick that you can find, right? Or smile. Spend on, you know, all of those stuff that get your teeth whitened or straightened or whatever it is, and all of that, have a great smile, but what's going on in the inside, right? We can wear the best glasses, or people, I know a person who has many colored contact lenses. You can wear all of that and make yourself look whatever you want to, right? But do you have vision is the real question, right? Is there joy inside is the real question. And see here, I want to pause here, because this is very common for the world. But why am I sharing this with us? So I want to talk to you, Christian. I want to talk to you, believer. I want to talk to you, the religious person. I want to talk to you who come to church. I want to talk to you who have had a different experience, or who claim to be walking in a different way. We are called and we walk in it. So that's all right when the world is hurting and they're trying to cover it up. But we don't have to be that way. Right? And that's what I want to talk about today. Because this thing happens very regularly in the world, and it happens with us too. That's why I said, you know, I've done fake smiles, I know. But we don't have to stay there. We don't have to be in that way. We don't, especially, we don't have to be dead trees in the midst of a forest where everything else is thriving, where the climate is such that you can thrive. See, it's interesting. How does the rest of the trees thrive? So the climate is the same, the rain is the same, the sun is the same, the slope is the same, everything is the same. But how do some trees die, and what can we do about it? So I want to first start off with Matthew chapter 23, and I want us to go to verses 25 and 26. I'm just picking this from what Jesus spoke to the disciples. And he said, and he was actually addressing the religious crowd. So even though he says Pharisees and teachers of the law, don't say, okay, I'm not a Pharisee and I'm not a teacher of the law. This is for anyone who handles the word, any Christian, anyone who connects with this, right? He says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and self-indulgence. So there is a connection between greed and self-indulgence, okay? And we can't go get into that now. And then he goes, blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. And then he says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. So we know that God actually looks at the inside and not the outward. And most of the world is, and we are taught in this world, what will people think? What will they say? And we do everything for the appearance as to what others will think. And that kind of slowly slides into, even if we are dead inside, even if there's no life going on, as long as it looks like everything is okay. As long as, but God works inside out. That's why he was telling these Pharisees. He says, listen, even if you whitewash a tombstone is a tombstone, it's just dead bones inside. Right? Rotten, stinking. Nothing. No life. It may look very pretty. Right? And it's the same thing. He said, you can clean the outside of the cup and put decorations and make it look very pretty, but if the inside is dirty, that's, so he says, and we know with God, it's always working inside out. So remember I told you about these pines? There's what is called bark beetles. So under the same climatic situation, alongside these amazing green thriving trees, there are these trees that are dying, and I researched and I found out it's because there are these bark beetles that come and bore holes, and they're like 3 to 5 millimeters the size, small beetles that come in bore holes and go in and lay eggs and infest the whole tree. And sometimes the tree is dead for several years before it actually is seen. But then the color starts showing out. And it starts becoming reddish, brownish, then real brown. And then I showed you the pretty pictures. There were those that were actually really brown and dead, right in between. And so we have a spiritual parallel here. Small things can come, enter in undetected. It's not seen. There's no big hole in the bark that you can see. It just goes in. And if it stays there, the infestation can happen. And it just breeds eggs. And all that larvae and all of that, end of the day, death has already started. It has not been dealt with, and it goes all over. It's dead long before it starts showing that it's dead. Right? And so, see, sometimes if we allow, because life happens to all of us. You understand? Life happens to all of us. Things happen, we get hurt, people hurt us, you know, whatever, all kinds of things. Maybe we were born in a dysfunctional family of some sort, maybe, or we had, unfortunately, we lost, you know, a loved one, or someone walked out on us, whatever it is, you know. We didn't get the job that we deserve. You know, people didn't respond the way we expected. However, life happens to us because we live in a fallen world, but hurts happen. And if we allow those things, an offense, one hurt, that unforgiveness, that little thing that enters like that bark beetle, and then it, if we don't deal with it, it infests the whole system. It infests, it affects our mind and it poisons. And the Bible is very clear. It says bitter root. Don't allow any bitter root to grow within you, right? Because then it just kind of spreads and poisons everything else. And so it's, we don't have to be there. And I like the example of the tree because the Bible often refers to righteous people as trees. For example, in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3, it's a beautiful verse, you know, but the latter part of verse 3, right, calls us as trees of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Another version calls it oaks of righteousness, right? And that happens after he has called us and changed our lives. And he says, the end goal for your life is that they may. Let me read that to you. It says, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called, that is us, right? After God does that work on us, we will be called, it says, oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for what? For the display of his splendor, right? That was God's plan. And we all know Psalm chapter 1. It talks about, you know, blessed is the man. But verse 3 says what? They will be like trees that are planted by the waters, right? Whose roots go deep. They bear fruit in season. Their leaves don't wither, right? And so that was a parallel of a righteous person who's meant to thrive, right? Meant to not be dead trees that may look great but are dead, that there's no life, there's no fruit, like, right? And Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 to 8 is worth reading, but I'm just going to read verse 8. It says, again, talking about people, it says, they will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its root by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green, not just as in Psalm chapter 1, it says, you know, according to the season. Here it says always green, no matter what season. And it says, it has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. In season, out of season, it'll bear fruit. That's the type of person that God wants us to be. That's our end goal and our destiny. And so my plea to you is that we don't have to live as a dead tree, because God has provided for us and he has planned for us. He has purposed that we be like these fruitful trees that prosper, that are green, that are full of sap, bearing fruit, right? And if you notice, actually, even in John chapter 15, I wanted to go to that later, but in John chapter 15, verse 5 says, if you abide in me, right? Again, that whole picture that you'll be like these branches. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit, right? So if you look at all these scriptures that I shared, there's a commonality that the end goal, God's goal for us, is to be prosperous, is to be lush, green, you know, drawing water, drawing life, be full of life, be full of sap, and bear fruit. That's God's will. But he doesn't ever tell us what to do or how to be without telling us how to get there. All of these scriptures, right, actually talk, like, for example, Psalm 1, verse 3, when it says, you know, they will be like trees planted by the water. He says, blessed is the one who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, who doesn't sit in the seat of mockers, walk in the way of unrighteous people. He says, and his delight is in the law of the Lord. And when you do that, it says, then you will be like a tree that's planted by the waters. So there is a way we can get to be that tree, is that we learn how to take our life, draw life, like John chapter 15 says, you know, if you abide in me, we stay in him, right? It is nothing, it's not works. It's just staying connected to the one who gives us life. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 8 that I read, that they will be like, you know, trees. Actually, the verse before that says, But the man who trusts in the Lord will be like a tree. And he continues that verse. So to be evergreen, to be bearing fruit in season and out of season, to be green and thriving and well, to be who God created us to be, we need to be those that trust the Lord. We need to be continuously connected to him, like John 15 says. And then we can bear fruit. And that's God's purpose for us. He doesn't want us to live with fake smiles. You know, we will all have seasons of crying. You know, we may have tears in life. We will. And don't be fooled if any Christian preacher tells you that Christian life is all wonderful. You'll be always, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You know, and you'll never have any problem. The good news is that in the midst of the problem, we can still say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and mean it. Right? And that's the life of God. That's abiding. That's trusting in the Lord, saying, God, I trust you. Right? It's part of what Jesse's testimony was today. Not necessarily everything has to go well, but going past that and saying, God, I know I'm giving myself in your hand, and I know that you're working in me. I trust in you, and drawing our life and energy from that. But you know, if you push it further, if you see in John chapter 15, in verse 2, Jesus also says that every branch that does not bear fruit, the Father cuts off. And then he says, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. I wanted to get a mental picture. So it says, whether you bear fruit or you don't bear fruit, there is some pruning and cutting happening. He says, if you don't bear fruit, you're cut off. If you bear fruit, then you're getting pruned. So I want you to think of this. The Lord was speaking to me. There's always seasons in our lives that we could look really or feel really weird. Like there's no branches, no fruit. Everything is dry. You know, we could feel all cut off. But I want to say something. Sometimes the pruning happens. The painful things in our lives happen because God wants us to bear more fruit. It's not a punishment. Pruning is not a punishment. So we in our Western Christian mentality, we think it's always got to be good. So when painful things happen, we think, I've been obedient. I've been doing everything that God wants me to do. Why am I still going through problems? Because exactly the reason that you are walking in his way, you're bearing fruit, so he's pruning you so you can bear more fruit. And sometimes God's hand of discipline is on our lives. We are walking the wrong path or doing the wrong way, and he cuts us off. Because the Bible does say that every heavenly father, you know, disciplines their children. But see, in the cutting off, it's not to get rid of us for good. It's so that we can actually come to that place and realize, I am a dead tree. God, I need life. I'm coming to you. You know why? And I want to close with this. Job chapter 14. I want to close this verse with this verse. It says, Job chapter 14, verses 7 to 9. Let me read that to you. I want this to just sink into your heart, because if you feel that you are a dead tree, if you feel that you know, there's all this stuff going on inside and you know, there's no life, no real life, right? It says, for there is hope for a tree if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its root may grow old in the earth and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. Can I read that last sentence? It says, there is hope for a tree even if it is cut down. And that last verse says, yet at the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. And friends, this is the word of the Lord. Even if we have been cut down, even if we feel that we messed up our own lives, which we often do, even if we feel bare and without leaves and fruit or anything else, I want you to know that there is hope for every tree of righteousness. There is hope because God's goal for us is that we don't live in death, but we live in righteousness. We live an abundant life. Everyone knows John 10:10. What does it say? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come so that you can get by. You haven't read that verse. I have come so that you will have life, not just normal life. And he stresses it, he emphasizes it, he says that you may have abundant life. We are called for abundant life. We are called to be living trees. And we often forget John 10 verse 9. We know verse 10. Verse 9 says, I am the gate. Anyone who comes in through me will find pasture. Right? They'll be saved, he says, and you will come in and go out and find pasture. I want you to go home and meditate on John chapter 10, verse 9. What does it mean? Anyone who comes to him will be saved. And then that's not the end of the story. It says they will come in and go out and find pasture. You will come in and go out. You'll come in, find pasture. Go out and live the world. Come in and find pasture. Go out. You will come in and go out and find pasture. Because, next verse says, I have come to give you life more abundantly. Yes, the devil comes to steal, kill, destroy, hurt you. Things happen. But in that context, he says, keep coming in to me and find pasture. Feed off me, abide in me, live in me. And then you can go out and be a fruit-bearing righteous tree for the display of his splendor. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And as they come up, softly, I'm going to ask all of us to just stand for a moment. Because I want us to move from just having heard this word to the place of getting the scent of water and receiving that scent of water. Job 14, when it says, there is hope for a tree. Even if it's cut down. Because at the scent of water. And friends, the Bible talks about the word of God as the water of life. At the scent of water. If you can just close your eyes and zone into God right now. Right now. Forget what's happening behind me. And forget what you're going to do after church. This is a moment. I want you to grasp the moment and just come to God just as you are, with the broken areas of our life. Come to God with that undealt with issue. Maybe the unforgiveness. Maybe you need to forgive someone, because that'll be eating you up like the bug, the beetle. Maybe we need to let go. Maybe you need to forgive yourself for some stupid mistakes that you made. And we need to trust the Lord again. We need to come in and find pasture in him again. So there is hope for a tree, because at the scent of water, it'll sprout again. And I just prophesy to you that every area in your life that has been cut down, that has been pruned, will sprout 100 times over. That you will be a fruit-bearing tree. That you will be for the display of his splendor. That many will find their refuge in you. That many will eat of the fruit that you have produced. And God's name will be glorified in your life. So in Jesus' name, Father, I just pray over this congregation right now. I pray over every person who's listening online right now. That Lord, in this moment, we give ourselves to you and we ask, Holy Spirit, that you will come. That we will be those that can meditate on your word, those that can come to you and be real, those that can come and exchange our sorrows for the joy that you really have. That we don't have to be fake and we don't have to be dead inside. But Lord, that we can live all that you've called us to live. So thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.